turn to number 26.
Jesus Christ.
Good to see each of you here. Let's have an opening word of prayer. Jason,
yes. Our Father, we thank you for bringing us together this morning. We thank you that it's warm in here. Thank you for providing the means to get the heat fixed and then to get it fixed again. And we thank you for bringing the welds to us safely. Thank you that there wasn't any issues with them getting up here. And we just pray that that will continue to be that way. And we pray for this service this morning and be blessed right now. And may the singing bring honor and glory to you. And we pray you give Brother Welton words to say. Help him feel liberty at the behind the pulpit and to speak what you put on his heart. And we just pray you give wisdom and guidance to each of us as decisions need to be made in the future here. And we pray that you would keep us in your will and in the center of what you have us do. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, looking forward to what God's going to do today. Hopefully all of you know this, but there's going to be an evening service tonight at 6:30 p.m. Hope you'll come and be with us. And we'll have a good time. This Wednesday night, we're going to have our Thanksgiving Eve service. It's always a great time of fellowship. We're going to have a good time of praise and testimony, and then hopefully Brother Myers will be feeling better and be able to come be with us that night. He's going to give us a small challenge from the Word. And then following that, bring some good finger foods or desserts, and we'll have a good time downstairs. So I hope you come and be with us Wednesday night at 7 o'clock p.m.
Speaking of Brother Myers, he texted me yesterday. I think he mentioned the last couple times he was here that their pastor, Craig Griffith, has cancer. He passed away yesterday. It was quick. So pray for that church. Is it Open Door?
I think it's Open Door.
Yeah, Open Door Baptist. So keep them in prayer. That, I'm sure heavy hearts are coming there.
They are already listed on the prayer sheet, both for Brother Griffith, and obviously we'll take him off of there. But I do have on the bulletin to pray for them as they look for a new pastor. So we'll continue to do that. Okay. That's a tough situation. And obviously, 3 years ago, we went through the same thing. Only it happened a lot quicker for them than it did for us. Obviously, we knew that Pastor Freeman had his cancer for a long time. And the Lord spared him for 12 years. It's hard to believe that he had a cancer that long. God allowed him to remain here that, for all that time. Okay. So those are the main announcements I have for right now. Let's turn to number 63. I've got peace like a river in myself. number 70. Surely goodness and mercy. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 11. We'll take just a moment for one or two people. If they already know the passage and want to say it, they certainly can. Sam, go right ahead.
11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Amen. All right. Go ahead.
Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Amen. All right. Let's say it together. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right. Brother Welton.
Amen, brethren. It's good to be back with you all this morning. Definitely need to keep that church in prayer. Open door. Where's that church at? Okay. So keep them in prayer. Amen. Keep them all in prayer in that situation there. Also, you have to keep my parents in prayer. My dad was in he was riding a bicycle. He shouldn't have been riding a bicycle, but he was riding a bike, and he fell off at Thursday and broke his kneecap and messed himself up a little bit, so I was busy with them the latter part of this week here. So I just ask you just keep them in prayer, what they're going through there, and for our safe trip back tomorrow, and hopefully try to go back up and be with them. But if you take your Bible this morning and look at John chapter number 16, John chapter 16 and verse number 33, John 16:33. In this portion of scripture here from chapter, I believe it's chapter 13, all the way over to John 16:33, we're going to read this morning. This is the Lord talking to his disciples during the Last Supper. And one of the things he says here in verse 33 kind of jumped out. I mean, I want to look at this portion of scripture this morning. It says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, and the freedom to meet this morning, Lord, to open up your word, to study it, Lord. And I pray that everything that's said and done, Lord, would just help us to draw closer to you, to love you more, to stay focused, Father, while you have us here, and that we be about your business. Lord, I pray you just bless this morning, dear God. I pray you'd help that church. I pray you'd help the brethren there, the family there. Lord, difficult time, dear God. I pray you'd meet with them in a special way this morning. Lord, I pray you just provide another preacher for them, dear God. Just lead and guide and direct them, dear God, and just give them wisdom and guidance and help and comfort this morning. And Lord, I pray all these things now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here in John 16:33, the Lord talking to his disciples, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. Now, obviously, this is not going to be an exhaustive study on John chapter 16 and even back through from 13 to chapter 16. But what the Lord wrote to, or what the Lord spoke to them in those previous three chapters, he says here in verse 33 that these things that I've spoken unto you, he says, these things that I've gone over with you, the reason I've gone over is that you realize that in me, you'll have peace. It's found in Jesus Christ that true peace can be found in him, through him, and only by Jesus Christ. This is what peace means. And the reason that this kind of scripture stuck out to me is because of all that's going on in our world today, especially in our country over the last few weeks, last couple days, and more mandates coming out and things like that, and just things going on in our country concerning the election, and just all the trials and the arguments and things that you see happening out here in our society. The Lord would have us, though, to have peace through it all. There ought not to be any time in our life, unfortunately for me, if I'd be honest with you all this morning, there's times, a lot of times I think I live more not having peace than having peace like the Lord speaks of. But Jesus tells us here, he told his disciples, listen, in me you have peace. And it's the times where we lose focus, and I know I've said this sometimes here preaching y'all, that it's the times where we take our eyes off the Lord and we start looking at the waters and the waves and the boisterous wind, that we start losing our faith and we start losing our peace because we're looking at what's going on around us rather to our Savior. And so Jesus says here, he says, listen, I want you to have peace. I want you to have peace. And I don't know what all y'all are going through this morning, but I know that the Lord would have you have peace this morning. Not anxiety, not restlessness, not worry, but a peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace means this. It means, in a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility. It's peacefulness. It's tranquil. Freedom from disturbance or agitation. How many things today and how quickly things today can get us agitated? Real quick. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world. We step out these doors today, just driving will get you agitated. So there's a lot of things that the enemy's got set up in our society today that will quickly get you agitated. And when you're in an agitated state, you're not in a peaceful state. It means freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. It means quietness of the mind, calmness, quiet of conscience. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, in me, you'll have all these things. You'll have peace because of what I've done for you. The Bible says in John 14, if you want to flip back a few chapters over to John chapter 14 and look at verse number 23. John chapter 14 and verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This world produces fearfulness. The devil is a master of fearfulness. And we know this morning, I'm here to encourage you this morning to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do what we can do, but ultimately we trust God. We trust God this morning. Brethren, how quick, look, there was a young man I grew up with when I was a teenager up here in Pennsylvania, and played basketball with him. And he played for another school, but I envied him. I envied what he had. He had everything that I thought I would want. And we were both seniors, and we both graduated the same year, and he had a full scholarship to a college to play basketball. And I thought, man, I wish I had his life. I wish I would have what he had going on. And by the end of that summer, he was dead and gone. He had some strange disease that popped up out of nowhere, put him in the hospital, and within 4 weeks, he was gone. And I often think, well, what if the Lord would have listened to what I wanted and had switched spots with that man, and now I'd be gone and he'd be alive? Fear. God gives us peace. God gives us a comforter. Let's trust God. Let's not look at what's going on, because how quick things in society can, how quick things in our life can change. We could be worried about this over here, but that's not, it's, God says, don't be worried about that, because that's not what's going to happen to you. Well, I might get in a car wreck. So I knew people who were afraid to drive because I might get in a car wreck. You may never die from a car wreck. That might not be the way the Lord takes you home to heaven. But you're letting fear dictate your life. And the Bible says that Jesus says, I've given you peace. Don't let fear dictate your life. Please, this morning, there's a lot of things that people like to look in the Bible, prophecy and all kinds of things. But when you get down to where the rubber hits the road, it's where people start getting troublesome. God has in his word, Jesus says, peace. And they were living at a time where he's getting ready to get crucified. He's getting ready to die on a cross for our sins. He's getting ready to become sin for us. And he looks at his disciples and he knows what they're getting ready to go through. And he says, peace. Peace I leave on you. I give you a comforter. Brethren, ain't it nothing like in the wintertime, if it's snowing outside and it's really cold, and you'll be able to get in that bed and you got that cover and you can just pull it over you and it's warm and you feel secure? That's the Holy Ghost. That's what the Lord would have us to be, to crawl up next to him and just have that comfort and have that peace and what he provides. Not to be all scared and worried and anxious and what's going to happen next. I'm not worried about what happens next. At least today, I'm not worried about what happens next. I don't know what 2 hours from here is going to hold. But right there in this moment, I'm not worried because I serve my Savior. Right? Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you and I give unto you. In Isaiah 9:6, it says that he is the Prince of Peace. God would have us to have peace. In Ephesians, move on over to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Ephesians 2 and chapter 11. Paul writing to the Ephesians, and he says in verse number 11 of chapter 2, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope and with God in the world." Brethren, that was us, unless somebody in here that's Jewish, I don't know if anybody here is Jewish. If you're Jewish, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a Gentile, we at one point, if we're saved, we were without hope. We were lost in this world. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We were not the chosen people. God did not choose us. God chose his people, the Israelites, over there halfway across the world. Those are his chosen people. And us Gentiles, God loved us enough to allow us to get in on this thing. We were without hope and without God in this world. Verse number 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partitions between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Peace between who? The Jew and the Gentile. And now we have peace in Christ and peace with one another because we are now in Christ Jesus. Brethren, if we're a Gentile, just the fact that God would even allow us to have his word this morning is a blessing. To see what the Lord would, as Gentiles, as that woman that came to the Lord there, that Syrophoenician woman, she said, "Truth, Lord, yet even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." We got a lot more than crumbs this morning. We got a lot more than crumbs this morning. We got the word of God. We got the comforter. We got salvation. We got a hope. We sang about it this morning. And hopefully it's interesting. We sang about it. We preach about it in the Sunday, the preaching hour. We have a home in heaven. There's nothing to be afraid of. If something were to happen to us today, we're called home to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Automatic. Boom. Gone. In his presence forever. Brethren, there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to get anxious over. There's nothing to get scared over. If you're in Christ Jesus, it only gets better. It only gets better. It does not get any worse. It only gets better in Christ Jesus. Trust God this morning and know that he is our peace. And he's made peace through the blood of his cross. This peace was obtained by Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross for all of mankind. Colossians 1:20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven," was all reconciled on that cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago, and we have peace through his blood. Hebrews 13:20-21. Turn there and look at this verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20. The Bible says this. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you see what those verses say here in the latter part of Hebrews? Look what it says, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again the dead, that brought from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look what it says in verse 21 now. Because of those, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Listen, in order to do the will of the Father, in order to do the will of the Son, there has to be peace in your life. There's no way you can completely do God's will if you're anxious and you're agitated and you have no peace, because right then and there you're out of his will, because he would have you to have peace. So if we're in a state of anxiety, if we're in a state of worry, we're automatically moving ourselves out of his will, because his will for us is to be in him because he's peace. So this week or today, if you feel yourself starting to get to a point to where you're starting to get agitated, or where you're starting to get worrisome or anxious about what's going on around you, bring it in check and take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord immediately. And if it comes right back, give it right back to him. And if it comes back again 3 hours later, give it right back to him. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you today to have peace in my life because of what you've done for me. Philippians 4:7 says, and the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's given us a sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind that we're not to have fear, but have power in him. Peace through Jesus Christ. Now, the next part there in John 16:33 says, Jesus says, I give you peace, but one thing I want you to realize here. John 16:33, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And I'm glad he said that first, because then he says in second, he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. He says, first of all, I want you to realize that in me, because of these things that I've said to you in chapters 13 through 16, I'm telling you now, look, in me you have peace, but know this, that in the world you're going to have tribulation. He's telling his disciples now, he's like, listen, I want you all to be prepared. I'm not going to spring nothing on you. The Lord says, here's what's going to happen. I give you peace, but realize that you're still in this world, and this world you're going to have tribulations. There's going to be things that you're going to go through. It's not going to be a smooth ride. But by much tribulation shall you enter into the kingdom. Look, it's going to be a turbulent ride. But through that turbulent ride, there's peace. Look, when I said this last week, when the last time I was here, flying. What do you have when you fly in an airplane? You have turbulence, right? You're going to get turbulence throughout the flight. Sometimes it's calm, sometimes it's smooth, but other times, especially if you're going through a storm, you're up and down in that plane, it's turbulent. But you can have peace through it all, and God can give you peace through it all. When we took off yesterday, I've done a little bit of flying. I've flown a lot of planes and a lot of places around the world. So when you fly, you do something, you get to know what things sound like in a plane. Well, yesterday when we took off from Charleston, things didn't sound right. I couldn't say anything because my wife's sitting right next to me and she don't like flying in the first place. So I have got to act like I'm calm and cool and everything is normal. Right? But inside I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know why this pilot's doing this, but this is not normal in all the flying that I've done. And what he did is when he took off, he turned towards the ocean. I ain't very smart, but I know Charlotte is not towards the ocean. I know that. I'm thinking, we're going the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. And then we didn't go up to altitude. We took off. We went up maybe 10,000 feet, if that. I mean, you can still see the ground. And I said, why is he not going? We went up and he leveled off. I think, no, we're not supposed to be leveling off right now. This is not where you level off. I know that. I know that much about flying, especially commercial. You don't fly at 7, 8,000 feet. You go up to 30,000 some feet. Why are we leveling out right now? Why are we heading towards the ocean? So I'm sitting there. I'm like, this is normal. This is fine. Because I ain't putting on the herd if anything's going on. But she told me later on she could see in my face that something wasn't right. So I got to work on that. I got to get my right poker face or something on to where she doesn't see what's going on. But she's like, I knew something was wrong. I was like, ugh. So we're going, and all of a sudden he starts turning back towards the coast. And then he goes up. He starts pulling it back up again. See, I didn't know the flight plan. I didn't know the flight plan. See, my flight plan was this way at this height. And the pilot said, no, the flight plan's this way at this height. And that's the Lord sometimes in our life. See, we think we should just, this is the next step. This is what's going to happen. And we should be here. And this, and the Lord says, no, no, no. No, I want you to go this way. But Lord, that way isn't where you want me to be. And my pastor Austin says that in your Christian life, you look, sometimes it feels like you take two steps forward and three steps back. And you get in your life where you're really trying to live for God and you're really trying to apply the principles that are in Scripture, like even this morning about just having peace. And it seems like this week, it wouldn't surprise me if none of us have a peaceful week at all. Because at least for me, that how it's always worked. You pray for patience, like everything breaks. Everything goes wrong. And then the wife comes to you and said, did you pray for patience this week? It's like, yes, I did pray for patience this week. And she says, well, see, then stop getting an attitude, make things right, because it's true. It's, you pray for peace, and it's like the Lord lets everything go haywire. And it's like, well, no, Lord, I want peace and I want patience, but I want you just to do it for me. I want you to pick me up, and I want you to put me up here with patience. And he says, no, no, that's not how I work. And he says, first, I'm going to have you walk over here, then I'm going to have you go back over there, then I'm going to have you go over here, and then I'm going to have you go back over there. And the whole time your life doing this, and you're like, Lord, I just want patience. But you let patience have her perfect work, and before you know it, and you look back and you say, I'm here. Now let's keep going forward. See, the Lord doesn't do things the way we think he should do things. But if we stay faithful, he'll get us where he wants us to be. But it might not be our flight plan. It might not be the way that we think it should go. Let him do it. Let him fly the plane. Let him go where he needs to go, because he knows where you need to go. Peace, trust, relax. And just let God do what he's doing. And trust that he knows best. But he says tribulation, severe affliction, distresses of life, vexations. You ain't going to hear that in modern Christianity today. From many pulpits, you're not going to hear it say, listen, you get saved, now get ready for the tribulations. Get ready for vexations. Get ready for distress of life. Get ready for severe affliction. You ain't going to hear about that. And that's one thing that concerns me about Christians today, because the Bible says in Hebrews that if you be without chastisements, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. If you can live a Christian life and you've never got chastised, I cannot relate with you. Because it seems like I'm getting my tail kicked all the time. I can't even look at something the wrong way and God's on me. The Holy Spirit's saying, what are you doing? You've already got the wrong attitude. But Lord, I haven't said nothing yet. Yeah, but you got the wrong attitude. You need to make it right. Look, if we're honest, look, if you're living and walking with God, God ought to be dealing with you about things in your life. And if he's not, then the Bible term is you're a bastard. You're illegitimate. You have not been born again of God. You might think you've been born again, but you haven't been born again according to scriptures, because the Bible says whereof all are partakers. Any good father deals with his child. Any good father will correct his child, and I serve a good father, and I know my good father in heaven is going to correct me. Tribulations, trials, afflictions, vexations, correction from the Father. Look, that's all part of growth. You don't grow without correction, because we all need corrections. John 15:18-21, Jesus said, he says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You can look at it, write it down, look at it later. But in the middle of chapter, verses 18-21 in John 15, Jesus says to him, you're going to have persecution. You are going to have persecution. It's a blessing this morning that you can walk through those doors and come to church this morning. Yes. Brethren, when I heard some of the things going on with Pennsylvania, I called Jason up, because I don't know how Pennsylvania, I know how South Carolina does things. I don't know how things are up here. You know, first thing that jumped my mind, the devil, no, you ain't going up. You can't go up there. because this, this, and this, and this. You can't go up there. Well, I got peace from God about it in the sense that I'm not coming up here for the world. I'm coming up here for God. I'm here this morning because of God. And if all of a sudden they came to those doors and said, you can't have church, well, sorry, we're going to have church somewhere then. Well, you might go to prison. Well, then I guess, and the Lord help me right now, then you would go to prison. That ain't easy to say. It scares me to death to say it. But it's got to be that way. And I pray if that time ever came, God would give me the grace to do so if it came to that point. Amen. Now listen, don't let the devil mess with your mind now, because God will only give grace when grace is needed. You understand? Well, I'm scared of dying. I'm scared of dying. I'm going to die. I'm scared of dying. Are you there? Are you dying yet? No. Then God's not giving you the grace yet. So don't be looking for it. Don't let the devil mess with your mind. We might go to prison. We might get persecuted. This might happen to you. I might get beaten. Is anybody knocking at the door yet? Then leave it alone, because God's not going to give grace till grace is needed. So don't let the devil jump in your mind and start messing with your mind and get you in a state where you're in a frenzy when nothing's happened yet. Nothing's happened yet. Nothing has happened yet. Boo! That's what the devil does to a lot of Christians, and they run and hide. Boo! In America today. Boo! Oh, we're done! So I read an article he sent me, and the two police chiefs in this area here, they're like, we ain't doing nothing different. Amen. Amen. Rest. Rest in God. The Lord, the world, the church is not the world, and the world is not the church. We're held to a higher standard if we're serving our Savior. Amen. There ought to be a difference between the world and us. You understand this morning? But tribulations are coming. Jesus says they're going to come. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. Almost finished up here this morning. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. Sometimes peace is a choice. Sometimes, well, serving God is a choice. Some people like living in anxiety. They like to worry. They like to be in a state of distress. God doesn't want us to be in that spot. He wants us to have peace this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 24. Moses, talking about Moses here. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's going to cost him now. He's saying, I refuse to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had a respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses chose to suffer affliction. Moses had it made. He was considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had the setup. He had everything you could want in this world, but he knew that's not where he belonged. He knew who he belonged to, the children of God. And he says, I'm choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, this world is here for a season. Living for God is for eternity. Choose rather to live for God no matter what may come. Listen, I'd rather live for God, go through things. I'd rather be in the storm, but God be with me in the storm, than live over here and everything be peaceful and fine, supposedly, and then that storm hits and I ain't got nobody to hold on to. Choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with God's people rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's what's going on today. People today are choosing the pleasures of sin for a season, because they know it's gonna cost you something when you live for God. It's gonna cost you something when you stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. I went out last night when we came in. Jason gracefully let us borrow his car, so we went to grab something to eat real quick before we went to the hotel. And we went to get something to eat, and I went over there and I saw a man preaching on a street corner. He had a sign up, said Jesus saves, repent. He has a little microphone, he's preaching. I got over to the car. It was dark out by that time. Went over there, and I just encouraged him. We had a good time talking with one another. And he said, "You know what, brother?" He's like, God, we had a good talk, but he says, "You know," he's like, "people are going to make fun. They're going to mock." I said, "Amen. I know exactly what you." Yeah. They're going to mock. They're going to make fun of you. But at least you're that little little glimmer of light there on that street corner. The Lord's allowed to shine through you, and that hopefully somebody will think about where they stand with you concerning eternity. So they laugh at us. So they mock us. So they make fun of us. All the times we've done stuff on the street down there in Charleston, in our area, I don't think anybody's ever thrown anything at us yet. Not yet. I mean, I know some preachers, people have thrown stuff at them, but we haven't had anything. Somebody might honk their horn. Somebody might go by and say a bad word at you or something. But there's a lot of people going by and they honk the horn and they're like, "Thank you for doing that. Thank you for standing up for the Lord. Thank you for being a light in our community." There's going to be a tribulation. There's going to be trials. It's not going to be a smooth road if you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you try to be a light and example to this world. I'm going to jump on down real quick for the sake of time and look at the last part here in John 16:33, where he says that in me you have peace. And then he says in the world you have tribulation. And look at the last thing that he says here. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Cheer. A state of gladness or joy. A state of animation above gloom and depression of spirits. You're cheerful. You're happy. You're lifted up because of what the Lord has done for us. Because he's overcome the world. We have cheer. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 9:2. That, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." So not only are we to be cheerful because the Lord has overcome the world, we're to be cheerful because the Lord has forgiven our sins. So two things there for us to be cheerful about. Another thing to be cheerful about is, the Bible says in Matthew 14:27, when the disciples were to get on that ship and he sent them across the lake and they came into that storm, he says in verse number 27, he says, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." You're going through the storm, you're trying to get to the other side, and you know one of the reasons why they had trouble getting to the other side is because they're trying to think about who's the greatest. You read through the gospel accounts. It wasn't just because they were having trouble in that storm. They were concerned about, well, who's going to be the best? Who's going to be the closest to the Lord and get that position closest to him for power? And the Lord says, "Okay, y'all need to go through a storm. So you realize you can't do nothing. And now you're nothing without me." Right? Remember the time Jesus said, "What are y'all thinking about?" And they're like, "Nothing, Lord." And he's like, who will be on your right hand and left? You know, they didn't want to talk about it because they're jockeying for position with the Lord. And the Lord's like, "Would you all get off? Listen, do you not see that I'm a servant?" That's what you need to be, a servant. Stop worrying about position. Yeah. Stop worrying about power. You don't want power. I don't want power. That's why everything in my flesh says, I don't want to be up here. But everything in the Spirit is saying, you need to be up here. Right? Because there's responsibility with it, and that's fearful. And the Lord's saying to them, "Look, just draw close to me and don't worry about what position you might have." And that's why you're in a storm, but be of good cheer. I can take care of this storm. Don't be afraid. He gets in a boat and all is calm and they're on the other side. Hopefully to get them to realize what they're putting the emphasis on. The last two scriptures I'd like you to look at is found in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, looking at David. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. The Amalekites had just come in and taken away all of David's stuff, his wives and his things, and also the men that were with him. And they're getting ready to kill him. But look at verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed. He's down. He's greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But look what David does. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was distressed, he was down, because not only had they come in and taken his stuff, his wives, they had come in and taken his men's stuff, their wives, their sons, their daughters, and now the men are coming in being like, listen, we're getting ready to stone you because look what just happened to us, and we're holding you responsible because you're our leader. And David's distressed, he didn't let it, look. Brethren, you can't help if those thoughts come into your mind. You can't help if there's a time where you feel depressed, where you feel down, where you feel anxious. Those things are going to happen. But it's what do we do when those things start to happen in our life is where God starts holding us accountable. Okay? You're going to get depressed again. But don't let it drive you. Don't let it rule you. Take it to the Lord and let Him help you through it. Do you understand? I'm not saying that it's wrong to be depressed. God's given us emotions. He's given us anger. He's given us love. He's given us happiness. He's given us joy. He's given us depression. He's given us sadness. He's given us grief. Like that, you can't expect to go in an open door Baptist church this morning and be like, hey, y'all, let's have a good... No, that would be wrong. They're going to be down. They're going to be grieved. They're going to have a form of depression because their pastor's gone, and that is right and that is fine. But if they let that start to rule and run their life, is now where you're starting to cross over in an area that's dangerous. Does that make sense? We're not going to be happy and smiles every day of our life. That's just not reality. That's not real. God wants us to be real. But even during those times, there ought to be joy deep down in our heart because we know where that pastor's at. Right? We can be grieving. We can be shedding tears. We can be sad. But we can have a joy that can express itself through the grief.
That's good.
Do you understand? Yes, so don't go out of here and let the enemy jump in your mind and say, oh, you're depressed again. Oh, you're depressed again. Because I know that's how the devil does with me. You're always depressed. You're always down. Blah, blah, blah. No. Don't let him mess with your mind. Say, yeah, I'm feeling a little down right now, but I'm still going to serve my God. I'm going to encourage myself and my Lord. Though I feel this way, I'm still going to serve God. And I'm still going to go forward. And I'm still going to do what I got to do today. If I can get out of my bed, I'm going to get out of my bed. Remember I talked about that sheep a couple weeks ago? If you can get out of your bed, then you get out of your bed, even if you're depressed. Do you understand? Now, if you can't get out of bed because you got some medical condition, that's something different. But the devil will be like, just stay in bed all day. Just stay in bed all day. And don't. No, you need to get out of bed. You need to do the things you need to do. And I think before you know it, the Lord will do something for you. Encourage yourself in your God. Brethren, that's why it's so important to be careful of how much time we spend letting this world influence our mind. You ought not to have the TV on longer than you're in your Bible, because it could cause you some issues. Look, and how easy today it is to put a device in front of our face. I'm saying the same for myself. It's almost like it's addictive. I think it's worse than some drugs. Try to put a cell phone down. Now, nobody in here might not have that issue, but I was on a plane watching and people there's something to it. There's something to it that the devil knows that there's something that to grab that attention, and I see it with kids that I deal with today. That if they're constantly entertained, you might not see it now, but when they're 10, 11, 12 years old, you got to have some flash and dash and shiny stuff and something to keep their attention and talk to them for 5 minutes. And I see it with the kids that I deal with at the juvenile center. There's something to it, and there's something that robs you of something. It robs you of something. So be careful. I'm not saying you can't. I'm saying be careful. And if the Holy Spirit nudges you like, maybe some quiet time with me, then listen to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Because the devil knows what he's doing. He's not stupid. He knows how to work today to steal your peace tomorrow. Okay? Last thing. No, we'll stop there. We'll stop there this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, Lord. Lord, as I preach these things, Father, I realize and I know in my mind and heart, Lord, how sometimes difficult it is to implement these things. But, Father, it's true. Lord, you would have us to have peace and you'd have us to be cheerful. Lord, you tell us to be cheerful because you've overcome the world. And Lord, help us to rest in that, dear God. I pray, Lord, you'd help these dear brethren, Lord, as they go through this week coming up, Father, if it be your will, Lord, that you just help us all, dear God, just to be a light and a testimony. And as we're that light and testimony, Lord, that this world may see the joy that we have in you. They may see the cheer that we have because of you and what you've done for us. And Lord, if there's time, if there's somebody here this morning that's depressed, that's feeling down, that's anxious, dear God, I pray you'd help them. I pray you'd encourage them, Lord. I pray you'd lift them up, dear God, and they'd see that they can find comfort in the Comforter. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to love you. Help us to draw nigh to you, Lord, no matter what may be going on around us, no matter what the storms may be doing outside the boat. Lord, help us to look to you, our great Savior. And I pray this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother.